suffering will keep you pure. Number two, suffering will keep you humble. And number three, suffering will keep you dependent on God. I want you just to consider them before we move on. Suffering will keep us pure. I wonder how many of you recall the words of Peter in that first letter in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "These trials have come upon you so that your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tried in the fire, may be proved to be genuine."
In The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexander Dumas, there's a point where the Count explains that the reason he's able to so fully enjoy his fabulous wealth is because earlier in his life, he had suffered so severely. In fact, had it not been for his experience of abject poverty and suffering, he probably wouldn't fully appreciate his current life of comfort and excess. In order to appreciate the best, he had to first suffer through the worst. Well, today on Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, as we continue the study of the life of Job with Skip Heitzig, we'll discover whether or not that's true. But before we begin, while it's great to enjoy solid Bible teaching on the radio, it's even better to study God's Word on a daily basis for yourself. And we have a great resource this month to help you with that.
From an earthly perspective, it can often feel like this world just keeps sinking deeper into darkness with no light on the horizon. You may feel like you don't see any light in humanity. True love seems like a thing of the past, and if you focus on what you see outwardly, you land in a place of unrest. But the truth is that God is with us, and when you experience His love through Jesus Christ, darkness is dispelled. We want to ignite you with a new passion for God and love for others. That's why we'll send you Linja Heitzig's book, Live Brilliantly, a study in 1 John, as our way to say thanks for your gift to help keep this broadcast on air, connecting more people to Jesus. In only 20 minutes a day, you'll journey through the book of 1 John and discover how God's love can light up your life and empower you to be a beacon of hope in this dark world. So call now to get your copy of Live Brilliantly when you give. 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888. Or you can give online at connectwithskip.com.
Open your Bibles to Job chapter 2, and we'll catch up with Skip Heitzig as he opens our study for today.
What purpose could God possibly have for things like earthquakes or hurricanes or accidents? Well, you know, our universe is governed by natural laws that are a blessing. One of them is the law of gravity. Aren't you glad for that law? If there weren't gravity, the moment you were born, you'd just cut the cord, you'd float up, and in about 3 minutes be dead. It keeps you tethered, earthbound. But because of the law of gravity, if you fall off a bicycle or fall off a building, there will be consequences to that blessing of a natural law. Hurricanes, as devastating as they are earth means of releasing pent-up energy. As hot air moves south to north, it releases energy in the forms of winds that are created. It becomes strong, but if they weren't, there would not be that adjustment. Fault lines are necessary. 10 tectonic plates on the earth that keep that thing together. If there were no plates, if there was no movement, we'd be in a heap of trouble. But if you build a home on a fault line and it moves, it's a little ridiculous to stand outside and shake your fist at God and say, "How could you? Wait a minute, you built a house." That's part of the natural order. That's part of the blessing of existence upon the earth. They can become consequential and even seem bad and feel really bad, but they can also be very good. Now, let me take it a step further. Let's make it personal. Suffering in the hands of a loving God can be used to bring about great good. If you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. Suffering in the hands of a loving God can be used to bring about great good. I read something by Peter Kreeft, a Yale postgrad philosopher, who tried to give us a good example. He said, "Imagine a bear trapped in a cage and a hunter is on the outside, but the hunter wants to release the bear. The bear doesn't know this. Now, the hunter could say, "Excuse me, Mr. Bear, but I'm going to set you free. Will that help?" No, the bear isn't a human. cannot articulate, cannot adjust to the auditory sounds to know what that communication is all about. So the hunter raises his gun to shoot a hypodermic dart to sedate the bear. What does the bear think when the hypodermic dart is being thrust its way? That dude wants to kill me. He doesn't want my good. He wants my death. Oh, it hurts so much. And next, the hunter takes a large stick and prods the bear to move to the back of the cage to release the tension on the trap door. All the while, the bear is thinking, he wants to harm me. He wants to hurt me. Why would he allow this to happen? Says Peter Kreeft, we cannot comprehend God's moves any more than that bear can comprehend the hunter's moves. It's a brilliant truth. It is the truth. We don't get the whole picture. We don't know what is in the motive and the mind of God in allowing it, but suffering in the hands of a loving God can bring about great good. Now, if you're wondering, what good could possibly come? I'll give you three this morning. Number one, suffering will keep you pure. Number two, suffering will keep you humble. And number three, suffering will keep you dependent on God. I want you just to consider them before we move on. Suffering will keep us pure. I wonder how many of you recall the words of Peter in that first letter in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, these trials have come upon you so that your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tried in the fire, may be proved to be genuine. Isn't that a great picture? God's like a goldsmith. A goldsmith will put gold into a smelting furnace long enough for the heat to affect it, long enough for the heat, the fire, to burn off all the impurities. You have any rough edges in your personality? I'm going to make a wild guess, a wild stab, and just say that probably there's nobody sitting here that's perfect. I don't know, I may be out to lunch, but probably you all have some rough edges in your personality. I will guarantee you that suffering will be the sandpaper that smooths them out. I have met people so full of who they are and about their plans, and I listen and I think, oh, I don't say it, but I think, they need some suffering. It's true. It's very, very true. It will purify us and clarify us like nothing. Second thing suffering does is it keeps us humble. Now I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, as I mentioned, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just for a few verses. 2 Corinthians 12, and here's why. This is one of the most powerful passages penned by Paul. Boy, there's a lot of P's in that sentence. Here, Paul the Apostle is very forthcoming, very emotional. He opens his heart wide. In chapter 12, he says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations in the Lord. Now, here's the deal. Paul has suffered from his enemies. Paul has been accused by the very church he gave his heart to for having impure motives, on and on. So he opens up his heart. He goes, look, I don't want to brag, I don't want to boast, but let me just tell you what God has done. I've come now to visions and revelations. Look at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Four different times, just recorded in the Bible, God spoke to Paul personally. Boy, that'd be a head trip, wouldn't it? If God actually spoke to you the first time on the Damascus Road, one time you went to heaven, but four times recorded in the Bible, God personally spoke to Paul and nobody else. So here's Paul. He is godly. He is self-sacrificing. But even Paul admits, I still have this old flesh attached to me, and I can have a problem when it comes to pride. And so God allowed these things to come upon me, a thorn in the flesh. It actually means an impaling stake, not, oh, I have a little thorn. I have this huge stake, some physical infirmity, a messenger of Satan, but allowed by God. That's why Paul never entered into the ridiculous notion of binding the devil, because why would he be going against the very thing God is using to perfect him? A messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh, lest I be exalted above measure. I suppose it would have been hard for Paul not to pull out this revelation card. You know, he could be talking in a conversation as people are saying, well, I've done this and I've done this. And Paul could have said, well, you know, the other day when God was talking to me personally, or was it a couple weeks ago when I got that other revelation? Oh, no, I know what it was. It was the time I went to heaven. That's it. Well, it'd be very hard to argue with that. Can you imagine Timothy and Silas saying, Paul, I have talked to the people and we feel we should do that. Let's go with this plan. No, let's go with my plan. No, let's go with this plan. How many of you guys have been to heaven? None. Okay, we'll go with my plan. But Paul said, God prevented that kind of pride keeping me humble by allowing suffering in my life. So it'll keep you pure. It'll keep you humble. Third, it'll keep you dependent. Verse 9, he said to me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. It's sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We didn't read it, but go back to verse 8. Let's look at it now. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. You know, this affliction was enough to keep Paul going back and back and back to God. Fix this, God. Heal me, God. Please, Lord, 3 times. It kept Paul dependent. Suffering draws us to God. Until finally the Lord said, you know what, Paul? Here's the secret. The weaker you are, the stronger I can be. When you come to an end of your strength, my power just then kicks in. Just then kicks in. No one is ever too weak to be powerful, but I meet plenty of people who are too strong to be powerful.
I can handle this. No problem. Buck up. Good attitude. Move through it.
Okay, you got plenty of your own strength. Let me know when you admit your weakness. So God says, I can give you my strength. That's where Paul now says, I get it. I get it. I embrace suffering. It makes me weak. And when I'm weak, I'm more dependent. So wouldn't you agree those are 3 good things? It'll keep you pure. It'll keep you humble. It'll keep you dependent. Now let's go back and finish out the story. Job chapter 2. Let's look at his friends. This is the final stroke of the story. In verse 11, Job's friends come. And they were friends at first. They become his enemies when they talk, but as long as they shut up, they're great. Verse 11. Now, when Job's 3 friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. You got to give them that. You got to acknowledge. That's pretty powerful. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, for they made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. When they raised up their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept, and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. It's a sign of mourning for the dead. So they sat down with him on the ground, in the ash heap, on the ground, 7 days and 7 nights. And no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now, you know who these guys are, Job's comforters. Job will say later on, miserable comforters are you all. But at first, they're not miserable. At first, they're great. They come from a long distance. They show emotion for Job. They're not stoic. They sit with Job on that ash heap for 7 days and seven nights. They said nothing. This is called the ministry of presence. Sometimes all you need to do is just be there. Sometimes you don't need to say a word. Sometimes you don't need to do anything. Just be there. If you've been in a hospital, you know the joy of looking across the room when you wake up and seeing a family member or a very intimate friend who's there. And they don't notice when you wake up and go, okay, now I'm going to read you this scripture. Or, let me give you advice. Let me tell you why I think you're suffering. Or, let me tell you what you've missed all week while you've been in the hospital. What's going on? None of that. They just are there. They sit there. Here's the principle I want you to see. Sensitive friends know when to come, how to stay quiet, and what to say, if anything. I wish that Job's there were four, you'll find out in chapter 32. I wish his friends would have said nothing. Just got soup, fetched water, ministered to Job, but they didn't. They talked. When they talked, it went downhill quickly. But let me tell you why they did it. There's a very key point, because we always get down on these guys again. They were true friends until they started pontificating. But the reason they start pontificating is Job, in chapter 3, lets out his emotional outburst. Don't miss this. Chapter 3, verse 1. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Job spoke and said, may the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said a male child is conceived. Go to verse 11. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came out of the womb? Verse 25. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Now that's Job's outburst. That's his limbic system kicking in. His friends couldn't handle that. You might read that and go, Job, I wish you wouldn't have said that. You were doing so good in chapter 2, and then you opened your mouth. It's the words of a suffering, deeply suffering person. So he spoke that because his kids are still dead, and his body is still diseased, and he's thinking, this is enough. And his friends heard and saw that emotional outburst, and listen carefully, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't just let that guy emote. They now have to give the reasons why Job suffers. So they do. Let me give you a word to those of you who are well, if you're around somebody who is sick. Don't try to explain everything. It doesn't help. Well, let me give you the rational look. Be quiet. We don't care. And the explanation won't help heal the hurting, broken heart. Just be there. Pray, love. Sometimes that's the best thing. There'll come a time for the explanation, but it's not always then. Listen to the words of a sufferer who gives us insight. He said, I was sitting torn by grief. Someone came and talked to me of God's dealings, of why this happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly and said things that I knew were true. I was unmoved, except to wish he'd go away. He finally did. Another came and sat beside me. He didn't talk. He didn't ask leading questions. He just sat beside me for an hour or more, listened when I said something, answered briefly, prayed simply, and I was moved, I was comforted, and I hated to see him go. Folks, it is so easy to play Monday morning quarterback with somebody else's suffering. Somebody else is suffering and they say something and you go, oh, I can't believe he's a Christian and would say that. Really? Just wait. Just wait. Walk softly around a broken heart. That's probably some of the best advice I could give. Walk softly around a broken heart. Very tender, very soft, very compassionate. Well, where does Jesus fit into all this? Remember what we've learned last week and this week? Evil does exist. That's obvious. God permits evil to exist. God has a purpose in evil existing. And what you need to know in closing is that God plays by his own rules. He doesn't put those truths into a universe and let us deal with them. He himself plays by those rules. You see, think of it this way. What would the worst possible thing ever be in human history? I can answer that. The death of God. Killing God on a cross. Getting rid of God. That's the worst possible thing. Well, it may have seemed like the worst thing, but it actually turned out to be the very best thing. The worst thing that could happen to Jesus Christ, his death, his suffering, has brought salvation for the world, if we'll take it. So, perhaps your pain, your affliction, your suffering would lead you to Christ. And by leading you to Christ, put your name in heaven forever. And I would say it was worth it. And I hope that you will one day be able to say it was worth it. And one day be able to say, like Paul, I will rejoice in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, because it makes me pure and humble and dependent upon God. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pain. Pain, said Lewis, is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Gets people's attention. God has gotten my attention on many an occasion. And I can simply stand before you and say, all things work together for good to those who love God.
It's hard to think that anything good will result from our times of suffering, but that's when we must press into our faith and trust in a good God. The test is whether or not we can believe and hold fast to the fact that he is good, even when everything around us in life decidedly isn't. Well, that's going to wrap up our time for today, but if you want to get a copy of today's teaching, it's available when you contact us at 1-800-922-1888 or on the web at connectwithskip.com. Or when you write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And join us next time on Connect with Skip Weekend Edition for a message Skip is entitled, Are You and God Okay? Connect with Skip Weekend Edition is a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.